Alright, let's open a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look into the truths of your teachings by our Christian catechism, we pray, Father, that you'll minister unto us the truth of your word and that you would be glorified in Rachel's schooling and all that we do. Thank you, Father, for this time that we have together. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Alright. I will ask a question and then we will recite it together. Question number one. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And our scripture references are Psalm 73 and verses 25 and 26 and 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. So what we're going to do is first we're going to cover the first part of that is what is the chief end of man, and that is the chief end of man is to glorify God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, we're going to open there and take a look at what it says. First Corinthians 10 and verse 31. Verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever ye do, do all to the glory of God. I'm going to turn to another passage in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. At the end of the chapter, it says this. In verse 29 through 31, let me read this. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Verse 31. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. When it uses it in that way, it means like boasting or saying something great about something. What this is speaking of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To preach Christ crucified, God receives the glory because it is by his power that such an incredible, amazing, and unbelievable thing that merely by preaching that word in the power of the Holy Spirit, that a spirit-filled man and a spirit-empowered man or woman preaching that happened to preach this gospel or share this gospel, because women aren't exempt from ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ, because women are to teach other women, right? Mm-hmm. So this preaching of the gospel is by the power of God that God receives all the glory for it in this amazing truth. It says that no flesh should glory or boast in his presence, because it's not by the power of our flesh. It's not by John chapter 1 and verse 13 that says that the salvation of a man, his regeneration, is not by blood, nor by the will of the flesh, nor by the will of man, but of God. So that's one way that we see what glory is a boasting and glorifying, exalting a thing or a person or an action, all right? Mm-hmm. Or glorifying God, exalting God in that which is done. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, we see another example of that kind of boasting or that kind of glory in Galatians 6. And verse 14, I love this particular verse. Or you can take your Psalter and put it over here for right now. Galatians 6 and verse 14, it says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. I should glory, or maybe, does your translation say boast? Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead and read your translation. New King James.
But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world.
So he uses the word boast as in glory and exalting. I should not boast. I should not make a proclamation or be excited about something other than the cross of Jesus Christ. This is the work. This is the thing. This is grace. That type of glory. Now, bringing glory unto God, his boast or exalting God. Let's go back, turn backwards again to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Just to look at the word glory, just a couple passages there. And then when you take your references or your concordance and you track around the word glory here in Greek and go to the other passages that use the word glory, and then you can see how it's used, because that's how we understand. We read the scriptures, we read them in context, you know, the verses before and the verses after, what is it saying? And then we understand what that word is for. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. Why don't you read it? Because I've already read it.
Oh, 1 Corinthians
10 and verse 31. Because that's from our catechism.
Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Okay. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Now, what does our catechism ask? It asks, what is the chief end of man? And our answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Now, to glorify God, when you read verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 10, what does that mean? Well, you have three things that it mentions. It says whether you eat or drink or whatever you do. For our heritage, we have something that's similar to that at the very first. The Holy of Holies in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad, Ve'ahavta et Yahweh Elokecha, v'chol levavka, uv'chol nefeshka, uv'chol modeka. We have three things. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your modeka, with all your everything else. Jesus explains it in through the Holy Spirit, conveying it in the gospel, in saying that is by all your strength and all your mind. And it's translated in the English, with all your might, with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. But modeka means with your veriness, which means everything else. And it ties right into this. It says, whether you eat, that's when you're filling yourself up so that you can be nourished to do things throughout the day. Whether you drink, that's when you're refreshed. And what is also the word of God called? It's called that when we wash with it, it's washing of the water. And it's also called the milk. Peter calls it the milk of the word. So in our drinking, in our times of refreshment, when we are in the word and in prayer, and in our eating, that which gives us nourishment, the bread, the word is called the bread of life. But it's also when we eat regular food so that we can be nourished. So therein is our strength. And then it says in our and whatever you do, that means everything else. When you're thinking or sleeping. And I'm going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 very quickly. You want to turn to the fifth book of the Bible? So that we can understand that first and great commandment that says that we are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, because it'll tie into the next part of our catechism, number one, question number one. But turn to Deuteronomy 6. I recited it, but I want you to see it, because we're going to read to verse 9. verses 4 and 5 are what the Jews knew in Jesus' day as the first commandment, the first and great commandment. My ALS is keeping me from opening my page. Here. Chapter 6 and verse 4. You got it? Okay. Chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Verse 8, And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Verse 9, And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. So here it speaks of the commandments of God, and they are all summed up, as you read in your regular Bible lesson today. What chapter were you reading in Matthew? 22, right?
23.
Or 20?
Oh, yeah. 22.
22, because you asked me about that in your regular, your personal devotions this morning, about what does it mean to hang upon these two commandments. It says Jesus was asked, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said, hear, Israel, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And he says, upon these two laws hang all the law and the prophets. And I explained to you what hanging means. It means to that those two laws are like the peg, that all the commandments that God gave unto Moses in the first five books of the Bible, and all the words of the prophets, and the writings of the prophets, which would include the Psalms, all those hang upon that one hook of those two commandments, loving God and loving neighbor. But here in Deuteronomy, where it is the first commandment, the explanation of how to love God, how to demonstrate the love of God, is passing on his commandments unto our children, which is like our missionary homeschool, and as I'm teaching you now, and teach them, we'll talk about them when we sit in the house, when we walk by the way, when we get ready to go to bed, and when we rise up in the morning. That means throughout all times of the day that we speak of the Bible, the Word of God, the commandments of God, and that we do it in loving God with all our heart, soul, and everything. And so that's how we glorify God. In all that we do, we exalt Him as the sovereign ruler of all the universe, the Creator and the Almighty. And because of that, it says in the second part, it says that man's chief end is to glorify God and what? And to enjoy Him forever. To enjoy Him forever, because the best gift that there is not the things that God gives. Those are just manifestations of His goodness. The best gift that God gives is Himself. Himself. God gives Himself. And we hear that also in John 3:16, and we don't even have to turn there. Now turn to Psalm 75. In John 3:16, which we will recite, it says that, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's John 3:16 right there. And He gave His Son, which is Himself. God gave Himself because Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. God giving Himself. And one of my very favorite passages of Scripture in the Bible is right here. Psalm 73. Did you turn there? Psalm 73.
I was there, but I lost it.
No, you did. and verses 25 and 26. To enjoy him forever. Not only is it important to glorify God, before we read this verse of Scripture, not only is it important to glorify God and exalt him in all that we do, it's important to know this. Because the thing is that when God, in his ultimate judgment, when he sits upon the throne in Revelation chapter 20, and he judges sinful, wicked, wretched unbelievers, rejecting the only provision that God has made for their salvation, and he sends them to hell. Is God glorified in that? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, obviously. You can answer yes. You know the answer to that. He is glorified in that because God is glorified in his justice. He is glorified in his attributes. And in everything, actually, technically, all the way at the very end of it, God receives glory, even in the vilest sinner, because his justice, ultimately, his justice will be manifested in sending that sinner to hell. He's glorified in salvation because the work is his. All that God is glorified in is because of himself, that he is the one who is beautiful. It is his excellencies and his majesties and his beauties that make him glorious. Then, therefore, even the vilest and wicked sinner ultimately will glorify God in their eternal punishment. God is glorified in that, in a sense. So, to say that the ultimate thing is to glorify God is not necessarily anything that means that somebody is saved. Yeah, you're going to glorify God, all right. Now, verse 25 and 26, verses 25 and 26 of Psalm 73, it says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." Verse 26, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." That is awesome, isn't it? Who do we have in heaven but God? And then in the psalmist, speaking unto God in a prayer, "Who do we have in heaven but you, O Lord? And there is none that I desire beside you." Any desire that competes with loyalty to Jesus Christ is a sin. Any desire, any affection, any love. Remember Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, he says, if anyone does not hate father or mother, sister, brother, wife, or husband, or even children more than me, and if they do not take up their cross and follow me, they're not worthy of me. They are not worthy to be called my disciples. In fact, if they do not forsake all things for my sake, it says in Luke 14, then they cannot be my disciple. Jesus said that it's not saying that they must hate, but if that relationship competes with love for him, loyalty to him, if that desire is greater, then it should be as if it were hated and thrown away, turned away, okay? Mm-hmm. Because what is greater than God? Nothing. And if God is the greatest thing that there is in the universe, then, and he is God and he's worthy of worship, and even if he sent us to hell, we should worship him and repent of our sin, because he is God. And his glory demands it. When he changes us and regenerates us, though we were vile, wretched sinners, totally depraved, and though the nature of the flesh is still with us, we are now changed and new creatures, capable of now being able to not only choose to do good, but to actually do it because of the power of the Holy Spirit that has changed our lives. And so now we have a desire, through being changed, to want to desire God. Not to desire the things from God, but to desire God himself. And that is the chief end of man. God created us to want him, because he is the best thing that there is. Not the things that he makes or creates or gives or bestows. those are not the greatest things. Those are only a manifestation or a reflection of the goodness that He is. God gives good gifts, but it's not the gift that we should love. It is the giver. And that is a sad thing for many that profess the name of Jesus Christ or call themselves Christians because they want the gifts. Even saying spiritual gifts, they covet the spiritual gifts more than they covet Jesus Christ. And that is a sad thing. That is not glorifying God and enjoying Him forever. That's the important truth of that scripture. To understand that all things, whatever we do, not only are to glorify God, but that glory must be coupled with our desire to want only Him. And it's not because we can make that desire, because we don't have that desire in us apart from the regenerating power, or the regeneration power of Jesus Christ to save our lives. Holy Spirit must change us. Otherwise, we will do nothing but hate God. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for our first question and answer in our catechism. And may we learn it, may we know it, may we embrace the truth of that. By knowing the truth, it draws us nearer to You, because our desire is You, to enjoy You. Who do we have in heaven but Thee, O Lord? And there is none that we desire but Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.